Lord, bless the word. We are open. We are hungry. We ask in Jesus' name that you reveal to us your deep truth and help me to be in your power to share with the Holy Spirit. Help every person to hear your word and for it to accomplish where it's sent in their lives. We love you, Lord. We praise you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
In Hebrews 11, I'm sorry, Hebrews 1, I'm sorry. Dale, you want to read it?
Sure. But which of the angels has he ever said, "Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool"? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation?
Okay. It's kind of like the writer of this book here is actually mentioning a backhanded statement through the back door. The context is really about angels not being as important as men. That's the context. But then he goes on to say an extra nugget of information, which is huge, and that's verse 14. The angels are ministering spirits. The word minister means servant. So angels are actually servants of, and who are they? Who are they servants of?
Those who will inherit salvation.
Us. In fact, I believe God showed me this once, based on this passage right here, that before He made man, He made the angels. And I honestly believe that He made the angels because He was going to make man. You see? Because if you think about it, what does God need an angel for? Anything He wants, He just speaks the word and He has it. He's omnipotent. He doesn't need a lot of beings running around doing this, doing that. Now, the home of the angels is in heaven, but the angels come through this some people call portals, ladders. They come up and down, and whenever they're needed, but they come down in response to men, in response to the needs of men and women and children, but they don't automatically come down. They're not automatically here. If you could put on like some glasses that showed you demons and angels and spirits and stuff, if you could put on some glasses and you looked around, you might see one angel for every 100 or 1,000 demons. I mean, because you know, the demons, when Satan took Jesus up on the high mountain to tempt him, he gave him 3 temptations. And he said to him, "All that you see, I own. And I'll give some of it to you if you fall down and worship me." Okay? And Jesus said, "You know, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shall you serve." In other words, Jesus says, "I won't worship you." But the one thing Jesus didn't say was, "You're a big liar, Satan, because you don't own all this." Because the truth is, man gave away the ownership of the earth to Satan. And Satan rules, Satan and all his minions, and they have all kinds of names. They're called principalities, these minions. They're called rulers. They're called thrones. They're called dominions. They have all these demons. Then some of them have specific names like Apollyon and, you know, different names like that. And these are all out of the Bible. And I'm kind of leery about having names that men have made up. Like someone said there's an angel named Raphael. And it's like, that comes out of a man's novel. And now people have adopted him as a real angel. And so if it's not in the Bible, I usually don't accept it. as a valid person, that it really exists. But anyway, Satan said that he owned it all, and the Apostle Paul said Satan is the god of this world, little g. Now, that has to mean something, you know. There's a truth to that. Satan is the god of this world. It doesn't say he's the god of the earth. It says he's the god of the world. And there's a difference. What's the earth? Yeah, the earth is the real estate, right? The dirt.
Physical being.
Yeah, the dirt and the water and everything. What is the world?
This place we're trying to function.
Yes, the world is the people. That's why Jesus said, don't love the world. Jesus said, don't love the world. That means don't love the people of the world that are not God's people, because they're evil and their father is the devil and they will trip you up. So don't love them with God's love as people, for God so loved the world that he says don't love them and their ways, so that you want to hang out with them because they'll trip you up and they'll destroy your Christianity if you get into relationships with them and they're not going to get born again. I mean, the only reason to get in relationship with the world is to get them saved. And if they remain stiff-necked and they want to take you out drinking or sinning or something, then it's time to part company, you know, because you can't succumb to that. So anyway, the Satan is the god of this world because he got it from Adam and Eve. And then people start getting born again without the human spirit. I mean, people start getting born in the flesh, natural realm, without a human spirit, like Adam and Eve had. And so what happened is he's able to deceive their minds. Satan is able to deceive people's minds and lead them down wrong paths. And he made Cain kill Abel, you know, and it just goes on and on. And so... So anyway, Satan's the god of this world. They're all ministering spirits sent to minister for those who inherit salvation. I won't go there, but over in Matthew... let's go there. Matthew 4. Did we establish that now in your thinking that they are servants of ours? God made them for us. It's really clear all through Scripture. Matthew 4, verse 11. Skittles, you got it?
Mm-hmm. I do. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee.
All right, stop.
Okay.
We only wanted that one verse.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Angels came and ministered to him. See, that's their job. He was hungry. He hadn't eaten in 40 days. And he had just overcome three temptations. And now these angels came down and they ministered to him. But guess what? The Bible says... We, as born-again people, are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are joint heirs under Father God with Jesus Christ. We are sons and daughters of Father God. We are the little brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. He's our big brother. We're His joint heirs. And this means when they came and ministered to Him, that's showing... That, and we just came from the passage that says they are ministers or servants to the heirs of salvation. And so I love this because, again, you can see that they're for us. Yeah, they go do things for God. They bring messages for God. But, you know, God can speak to people too. So if you really think that through, I can't find one reason why God needed them. Except to show us kind of a obedient hierarchy in heaven. And let's talk about that hierarchy in the beginning for a minute. That hierarchy was three archangels. This is what the Bible teaches. And they are... Anyone know them? Three archangels under God.
I know Michael.
Michael? Gabriel. There's a third. The Bible gives us his name. He's the bad boy from heaven. What'd you say? No. Lucifer. Yeah, Lucifer. Okay, so he was actually an archangel, and he was... a lot of theologians believe that he was in charge of music and praise and worship in heaven. And the Bible says he literally has instruments inside him, in him, which is, you know, these dark heavy metal rock bands that sing about Satan and teenagers killing themselves. It's like Satan has this great following there to teach all. You know, a lot of those guys from rock and roll, they said, when I went to write that song, something just took over my hand and I just started writing and someone just took over my hand. I've heard them say that.
Now I'm working a drug addict.
Huh?
Now I'm working a drug addict. Excuse me.
Some
of the rap.
Yeah. So music always has this dark, dark side, and it's from and we know Satan was actually in charge of music in heaven and worship, and then he got lifted up in pride, and he said, and God gave him a lot of compliments, but he said, I will exalt myself above the throne of God. That's what he said, and God said, O Lucifer, how art thou fallen down from heaven? How did this happen to you? Like, God already knows the answer to that. It's kind of a rhetorical question. So Lucifer was thrown out. He was cast out. And the Bible teaches that he took one third of all the angels of heaven went with him. And one day in the book of Job, right in the first chapter, you can go read this and check me out, God sees Lucifer. And he calls him son of the morning. He says, where have you been? He says, I've been walking up and down the earth. So, if you know, some of these TV shows, Satan is in hell, right? But that isn't actually where he's at. The Bible says he searches and he's seeking whom he may devour. And he walks around as a roaring, like a roaring lion, not a roaring lion, like a roaring lion. So he's kind of weak, but he has this strong front of deception and power and fear. And so once you start studying about him, you realize, oh, Jesus is the lion. Jesus is the lion of Judah, and he's only like a lion, and he's weak. And there's even a reference in Revelations, I think, where we see him as he really is at the end. And everybody goes, is that him? He's called Ye Old Serpent in Revelations. And everybody goes, is that the one that deceived the whole all the nations? Because he's going to look, I think he's going to be very burnt out and frazzled at the end. You know? And because he's just consuming himself. And he's full of hatred and spite. And you can't exist well on that.
Touched by anger.
The show?
The hatred in him.
Yes.
People and bombs.
Yes. Anyway, so I want you to see verse... we'll go to... I'm kind of jumping around on my notes here. All right, let's go to Psalm 103. We're doing the overview tonight. And then maybe Saturday night we'll do the nuts and bolts. And so that'll be kind of... it'll build on tonight's... Yeah, Psalm 103. And you see, if you want to go far with God's angels in your life, then you need this foundational of the Word right here that we're doing. We're laying foundations right here. And let me just say to you this. Here's a warning about angels. We don't need to talk to them. We don't worship them. We don't buy statues of them. We don't make them objects of our, what's the word, affection. Now the world does that. You go into some people's houses and they've got angel statues everywhere. Yeah. And the thing is one thing I believe, I don't believe God will let his angels show themselves very frequently. Only in dire, dire emergencies. Because people tend to worship what they see. And so I think God keeps his angels very, very low key. But Satan has a third of them, and they're on this earth, and they're roaming around, and they're fallen angels. And I do not believe fallen angels are demons. I think demons are something separate. But the fallen angels and the demons are here illegally, and they can show themselves anytime they want. Yeah. Because they don't follow God's rules. They're here illegally, you see. And they don't always show themselves, but I believe that when you talk about hauntings, you talk about ghosts, and that's a huge thing on television right now, Ghost Hunters International, and it's almost a joke if I ever turn to that and look at it. But I believe what a lot of those times those people are experiencing is demons, and they're not experiencing ghosts, because I don't believe God's got ghosts, human spirits, walking around all over the earth. You know, I just don't believe it.
There's no such thing as purgatory or whatever.
I don't believe so.
There's such a thing as what? Purgatory?
Oh, purgatory. I thought he said territory. Go ahead.
Catholic Church teaches that.
Pardon? Well, they're coming back with Jesus and the angel, and one of them's got a chain, and he's going to chain up Satan. Michael has a chain with him, and he's going to chain up Satan. But I don't want to get into Revelations. Anyway, what was I saying? Questions do that to me.
Demons.
Okay, demons. I believe that this is my opinion, and I haven't found it in the Bible, but I believe a lot of the UFO sightings are demonic. Okay? So a lot of the ghost happenings are demonic, and a lot of the UFO things are demonic. And are we alone? Well, we're not alone, obviously. God said to Satan, "Where have you been? I've been walking up and down on the earth." And all his followers are too. Guess what it calls him? Guess what the Apostle Paul calls Satan? He calls him an angel of light. He still messes with light. Most UFOs are about light. You know? And all those angels that fell are light. They have light. You see? So he says he comes as an angel of light. He looks good to people. And why do I say that demons might be behind ufology? Does anyone know what ufology is?
UFO studies.
Study of UFOs. People give...
Because the Hebrew 1, here it says, God made it lots of words.
He what?
Hebrew 1, if you want to look at it. There's lots of words. W-O-R-S.
Okay, are you reading the actual Bible or are you reading a footnote?
No, I'm reading the actual Bible. You said you're not alone in this world. Mm-hmm. Here it says that. I just saw it by accident.
Okay. Since I don't read that Farsi, I guess I have to take your word for it. But anyway, ufology is the study of UFOs, and people donate their whole lives to it. And at the end of 30 years, they're no further along after the first year. At the end of 30 years, they are still trying to find one scrap of evidence they can show anybody. And they donate their whole fortunes to it. In other words, they tithe. They give their income to ufology. So, pretty much sounds like a religion to me. You got, donate, your, give your whole life for it, preach it wherever you go, look like a weirdo for what you believe, and give your money to it. Meets all the meets all the criteria for religion, but it's a false religion. It's a false god, see? Ufology. Stay away from that stuff. You can get so far into that, and they really don't have anything. They don't ever have any proof. So, except we know from the Bible that there's beings on our earth, and hang around and show themselves sometimes, but they like to cause deception. And I'm sure Satan's really chuckling about ufology because it makes God look non-existent, to be honest. They're now teaching, you see it on the History Channel all the time, they're now teaching that there were ancient beings, there were many gods that came and taught them how to build the pyramids, and they did all this, and it really dilutes the ufology message, really dilutes the truth of the Bible. And I can tell you, I can show you that Roswell was a big hoax. And Roswell is all commercial based. And now it's a huge tourist trap. And they propagate, because all the money, people from all over the world flow in there and want to see the little souvenir shops and buy the little aliens this tall, and throw their money at it. And I'll tell you just a couple more things about this, because it's interesting, is there was a guy in 1947 from his airplane. He saw these saucers, or he said he did, but he might have been had some sauce with him. And that's 47. Just after that, the whole Roswell thing happened, after he saw those in the sky from his airplane. One other thing is this. Let's see. That guy, Roswell hoax, slipped my mind now.
All right. That's Hangar 51, right?
Or something like that. Yeah, Area 51. That happens to be a place where they test everything, but everyone, you know what I mean? So you can see the confusion there, is they test all of our secret stuff there.
And that's where the bomb started, right?
I don't know. Now we're, is everyone in Psalm 103 with me?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Psalm 103,
yeah. I know what I was going to tell you. Here it is. There was a outer limits in about 64. Remember that show?
Yeah.
Remember the two guys in the Twilight Zone movie? And they're arguing in the car. They're like Saturday Night Live. And he goes, and they're telling stories that were on Twilight Zone or Outer Limits, and what they're going, that was a zone. No, that was a limits. And they're having this big argument. I thought that was pretty funny. But I used to watch both those shows. But there's an Outer Limits in 64. And there virtually had never been any stories of alien abduction. All right? And they someone wrote that out of their imagination, and they did an Outer Limits on alien abduction. All right? And the same year, there were thousands of reports around America about alien abduction.
Right on.
You see what I mean? Yeah, so alien abduction is like too much pizza. It's like craving for attention. It's like...
I bet a lot of those reports were issued by conspiracy theorists of various kinds.
Yeah. Well, I'm sharing this kind of stuff with you so you're not sucked into ufology. Don't get sucked into ghost hunting. It's all a bunch of junk. And if you there's enough supernatural with God to just keep you full of sensationalistic stuff that you don't have to go after the devil's stuff. that he's preaching, okay? Because there are guys giving their lives to ghost hunting too, just like ufology. And yet they never get any proof. It's like, oh, I just got a cold chill. Well, gee, you're in the basement.
And like Bigfoot. All you got is like, something out there moving.
Well, it's funny you brought that up. Okay, now you're going to hear my take on Bigfoot. I got a take on everything here. My research paper in high school was on Bigfoot. I love that subject. Okay, and he is a creature that is supposed to be in the Pacific Northwest as his main domain. Although there are versions of him that have been seen all over the United States. Now watch this. The Native Americans actually had this area before we did. And they actually worship false gods. Okay? And their totem pole was like an image of their god. And interestingly, it was a graven image that they worshiped, you know, which God said, don't ever do that. Because you're messing with stuff from hell, from the devil, from Satan, when you're messing with stuff like that. And interestingly, if you look at a real totem pole, there's faces on it that look just like the Bigfoot face. Okay? Now get this. They've never found one. But yet there's these sightings where he scares the you-know-what out of people. Okay? Okay? And uniquely, whenever they're talking about their Bigfoot sightings, the thing they say is, I was afraid. My heart was coming out of my chest, you know? And there's this one area where they're mostly Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Northern California. Okay. Now watch this. I believe that Bigfoot is an apparition that was created out of Native American beliefs. And because he's believed in now, the apparition is still with us. Okay. So don't get sucked into that either. Because they'll never find, I don't believe they'll ever find a dead one. Now, he has a counterpart in the Himalayas. And what's it called?
Yeti.
Okay, now watch this. Over there, they have false religion too. And they believe in some real demonic stuff over there in the Himalayas. And they've got their own version of Bigfoot over there. He's calling Yeti. And they actually had him before we knew about Bigfoot. So it's like when, and oh, by the way, there is a spirit from hell called a spirit of fear. And whenever Bigfoot shows up, people are quaking with fear. So it's really, and there's people giving their whole lives and fortunes to the Bigfoot legend. So you got another religion now. So religion after religion after religion, man-made stuff that detract from the truth of God. I mean, there's enough bears out there in the forest. We don't need to invent Bigfoots just to give people thrills, you know?
There's been one big tall guy.
Were you out there, Skip?
Or the Loch Ness Monster. I mean, that was a good one, too.
Don't get me on another subject, but I kind of believe in the Loch Ness because I believe, and I'll talk to you about creation one of these nights, creation science, but I believe that there's reptiles and amphibians around the earth that they haven't even discovered yet, especially in the depths of the ocean, and I believe that the prehistoric animals were not so prehistoric. I believe that they coexisted with man, but they're not around anymore except maybe little remnants of them. Okay, because in 76 these fishermen found something like a plethiosaurus in their nets and it was dead. And instead of keeping it, they threw it overboard because it was rotting and it stunk. But they took photos of it, and I've seen the photos in creation science books. So Nessie might be more realistic in my mind. Anyway, Psalm 103. Let's try to stay on our scriptures now in our remaining time. I love this. Who wants, Robert, you want to read verse 20?
Which Robert?
You.
Verse 20?
Psalm 103:20.
Praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who carry out his plan, listening for each of his commands.
Okay. This is an interesting verse about God's angels, and I need a different version now. You read that, verse 20.
Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word.
All right. Okay. Now, remember how I said from Hebrews 1 that they were our ministering, serving spirits made to serve man, not made to serve God. In serving man, they're serving God. Okay? In the old ancient days, when a man had a big estate or a home, he had sons and daughters and he had servants. Okay? And the man is like the son and the daughter, and the angels are like the servants. And the servants had their quarters elsewhere, and they would like sometimes look in the windows and see them having their big feast in there, and all the sons and daughters and the wife are in there around the man, and the servants are just looking on going, man, I was born a servant, and I could have been born one of them, a son, you know? And these are the angels are servants. And when the servants are taking care of the master's little children in that ancient estate, they're doing the master's business, right? And that's really a good analogy for what we have with angels. They're here for us to take care of God's business by taking care of us. You see? Now, who controls them? This is the big thing that you're here to get from me tonight, I believe. This is the big key. Who controls the angels?
Man with the strength.
Believers in Christ, born again people, who master God's Word, who learn God's Word, have the ability. Because let's look at it now. Bless the Lord, you His angels, who excel in strength, who do His Word. What did we teach last time? Faith is voice activated, and we speak the word, and the word comes to pass. Who brings it to pass?
We do.
No.
Faith.
Supernatural beings bring it to pass.
The angels.
We do. Or God Himself.
Right.
The Holy Spirit is there to bring it to pass, or the angels are there to bring it to pass. I don't know how they decide who's going to do what, but between God or the angels. Because they're just helping him by helping us, see? So heeding means hearing. They hear the voice of his word. And who speaks the word? Us. We speak the word. See, there are servants, and we speak the word, and the angels hearken and do the word. Now, remember how I said if you could put on those special glasses, you might see about 1,000 demons around, and you might just see one or two angels? Why is there such a horrible imbalance?
Because not so many people have the spirit. Your faith,
we don't call them.
Because we're not using the word. Mankind is missing he's not graduating from high school and using his God training, and he's not getting the revelation in his heart, and he's not using the word. And so what's happening is these angels, there's this one man of God, and he's about to fall asleep, and suddenly an angel appeared to him and said, you're going to be there 8 hours sleeping. Why don't you give me something to do while you sleep? Because this man of God had a lot of needs going on, you know? And the angel goes, you're going to check out for 8 hours and I don't sleep and I have to stand here and do nothing for 8 hours while you sleep. And now, in this room, there are angels. They came in with me. And then some of you had some with you already when, before I got here.
I did.
Yeah. There are angels.
I remember a couple of years ago you said each one of us has 20,000 the angels. Do you remember?
I thought I said has access to 20,000
angels.
I don't know if I said they have them, but they have access or more. That, now watch this. In this room, and angels come in different shapes and sizes, and they don't look like Cupids, fat babies with wings, okay? And they, that's just an artist's rendition of them. But some angels are like three stories tall. They're big. Some angels are just look like normal men or women. And then some angels have a lot of warringness to them. Some angels have these long swords. And some angels have four faces, one on each side of their head. Those are called watchers. So you have cherubim, you have seraphim. Cherubs are about, I believe, are the same as cherubim. But the seraphim are the ones with, they have a face on each side of their head. And they have two sets of wings that wrap around them like this. And they're weird looking. And there's a description of them that we won't get into tonight because we're going to run out of time.
How about you seeing them?
Well, I do. I believe sometimes men do see angels. But it isn't something that's very common, you know. And
You've probably been around places. I'll be around walking downtown or here or there, and I'll turn a corner and I hear somebody say, "Oh God," you know, and go to another corner and say, "Oh God," you know. And it's like they know God's around there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They know the Spirit of God.
Yep.
When you first mentioned if you had certain kind of glasses you could see, you know, these devils around, or, you know, minions of Satan or whatever, but you'd only see a couple of angels, why the disparity? When you first said that, the first thing that popped into my head is it's like when I was a little kid, we used to say my mommy can beat up your mommy, or my daddy can beat up your daddy. As far as I'm concerned, the angels that surround me could beat the hell out of 20 of those minions.
You're right. In fact, in one night in the Bible, in the Old Testament, one angel slew 185,000 men. One angel.
There you go.
But that would take supernatural speed to do
right.
That. Let's talk about why there would be so many demons around. I believe that the demons respond to your words. If you're talking negative, first of all, you can let sickness in your body by talking negative. Secondly, you can cause evil things to happen to people or yourself by talking negative. You create this atmosphere in this place here. This place has got a lot of demon activity here. And there's very few here that talk godly, all right? And I don't mean not swearing. I mean, bless the Lord. I charge this atmosphere with angels. I bless this place with God's holy angels. There's very few that will do that. There's a lot of people that say, you know, that they fight. As soon as they're fighting and in strife, demons are attracted to that because they want to cause a riot, you know. So it's like, if you think about it, sinners and people that whose father is the devil because they're not born again, they're creating all kinds of power for the angels to act. And because fear is perverted faith, okay? And fear is believing the wrong thing and giving voice to it. And faith is believing the correct thing and giving voice to it, okay? So fear is perverted faith. So really, when faith brings angels on the scene, you can bet fear and spoken fear brings devils, demons on the scene. You see? And so, let's look at... Wait, before we leave here, I just want to reiterate to you, this is the crux of the whole teaching right here, for both nights. You can't let this get out of your head here. The angels excel in strength. They are super powerful. Super, super powerful. They can do amazing things. And they do His Word. They do the Bible. from Genesis to Revelations, but they don't do it sitting on your coffee table. This is just paper. You know? This isn't to be worshipped. I drop it on the ground. Alright? I do that to demonstrate to you. I dropped it on purpose. It isn't holy. It isn't to be worshipped. It's just paper. Okay?
Words that are in it.
It's when you make them alive by speaking them out is when the Word becomes active in the kingdom of God. And so they do the Word, they hear the voice of His Word. But they're not waiting for God to say it, they're waiting for you to say it. And as long as you're not using it, like, okay, there's a woman on the subway. This is a story I heard. An attacker grabs her because everyone has left the subway. An attacker grabs her, takes her up against the wall, puts his hand under her throat. I don't know what he's going to do. He's going to rape her or steal her purse or what he's going to do. And she says, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you'll not hurt me." And he fled. He fled. Yeah. And while I'm on this now, let's do this. Watch. A man told me this story. He said, first-hand story of someone very close to me from in here. I was speaking recently with a man who was telling me about his former more violent and criminal days before going to prison. He got in a knife fight and it was brutal and someone was going to die. He backed the other guy back up against the car, and then with his knife, he stabbed the guy in the stomach. Next, he was fixing to render a death blow to the neck, and he began to plunge the knife into the man's neck. As he began, what he called an apparition appeared between him and the man and said, "Do not do that." And he immediately stopped, backed away, and fled. Someone had prayed, or some reason unknown, saved the man. He said this apparition was someone covered in glimmering bright light who appeared out of nowhere for an instant. This is a first-hand account from somebody. By the way, this guy changed his whole life. Never drank, never used drugs again. I can't reveal who he is.
Are you saying most angels are spiritual form or human form?
No, spiritual form.
Can they be in human form as well?
I think they can, yeah. In fact, if they're in their spiritual form, I believe they still look like humans. But it's just a matter of what kind of how they're going to feel to the touch. If your hand's going to pass through them, or if your hand will stop if you touch them like that. Here's another one. Here's another interesting story. This is someone you all know. Told me this story. "We do not know the hosts of evil arrayed against us and our angels. The conflict is quite a bit bigger than our concept of it. A homeless friend of mine was in the park the other day with another homeless friend of his. My friend has a condition where he takes a strong pain-killing narcotic. His friend, who is also suffering from serious pain, asked if he could have a pain reliever. My friend dished him out one pill. About 4 to 5 minutes later, my friend said, 'Seeing as I helped you, do you think you could loan me a dollar for a cup of coffee?' So this guy gave him a pill for his pain, and then he says, 'Listen, I did something nice for you. Do you got a dollar for a cup of coffee?' Okay, the other man loaned him a dollar. These two men have been friends for 15 years and have helped each other through many trying times. Some police officers were staking out the park. They saw the two men exchange a pill for a dollar, even though there was 4 to 5 minutes in between the two actions. They presumed this was a drug transaction. They took these guys into custody and began to threaten jail time for drug dealing and use. My friend has a record and is on probation. He saw this as an end to his free days, and it was quite innocent. Try telling the officers this, though, they know what they saw. My friend, who is a Christian, began to wring his hands and mutter to God right in front of the officers. Oh God, he said, do not let this happen. I cannot go through this. The officers heard him do this. Just as he said this, a huge branch broke off and fell from a tree near the officers. One officer yelled, oh my God! It seemed like half the tree came down in the park and could be heard for blocks, a huge cracking sound, and the branch was about 8 to 10 inches in girth at the base. Seeing that he had just asked God for help and this branch fell right then, the officers quickly decided to let these guys go and leave the park immediately. This is a true story, and one person and God are a majority on earth. People that mess with God's kids who know how to pray and use their faith, well, in the words of Mr. T, I pity the fools. You do. Don't tell. But anyway, you see, I collect stories like that because I'm a teacher, you know? And these are real stories. These are real, real stories. Now I'm going to show you something exciting. John 1. Is anyone getting anything out of this?
Yes.
Okay. It is 9:15. We have 10 minutes.
I was looking for a movie, John 1.
John 1.
I was looking for a movie today, right, guys? And nobody could figure one out because the TV wasn't working right. So, as I was looking through these movies, right, I couldn't figure out which one to pick, right? And all of a sudden, right, I picked this movie, right, and then the sun came through the satellite, right, and said, oh, this one right here. So I put it in, and the sunlight went away. It was weird. I was like,
what was the movie?
The movie, what was it about? Oh, it was with Michelle Pfeiffer when she had to teach the kids and had to control.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I forget the name of it.
She was a bad kid, Marine.
She was a Marine and a karate expert.
Yeah, she made bad kids and good kids.
Okay, watch this now.
John 15?
John 1. Watch this. Jesus was the first son of God. Actually, Adam was the first son of God, but Jesus was the first one of a new race, born a man, also son of God. And the race was us. And the duplication that was going to take place after Jesus was raised from the dead was going to be enormous. It'd be in the billions. Okay? But Jesus walked the earth and he did things just like we do them. He got baptized in the Holy Spirit at his water baptism. The Holy Spirit came and lighted on him like a dove. Not a dove, but like a dove. Dove meaning gentle, flighty, easily chased away. Okay, that's where the Holy Spirit is. Gentlemen, non-invasive. You don't want the Holy Spirit around? He's gone. You have to really make an environment for the Holy Spirit to be upon you and in you to have Him be around. But anyway, Jesus came to show us everything that we were to do, okay? And here he is operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, right here. And he says,
we're in John 9.
I'm in John 1, and it's verse 43, I'm going to read. It says, the following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida at the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. So Jesus was impressed with a man that was on his way to see him. Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." So not only did he see him where he was, which was a vision, a gift of the Holy Spirit to his mind, but then when he saw him coming, he was able to discern, which is the gift of discernment, that the man had no guile in his heart. He was a guileless person. Okay?
Is that kind of like gut feeling about somebody around you?
Or? Yeah, but it's more than that. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit.
Guile and deceit are the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. Kind of like the loaves and the fishes, you know, and stilling the sea. And he said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of God?
Son of man.
Son of man.
Oh my goodness. That means I, Greg, can have the angels of God, heaven open over me, and angels ascend and descend, come and go over me. And obviously, these angels are going to help him do his miracles. That's the context. Do you get it? Because
yeah.
He says, you'll see greater things than these. You're going to see angels coming and going. And you see, there's the Holy Spirit doing a miracle, or there's the angels doing a miracle.
Like the counselor, huh?
Yeah. So now, this is like a ladder, and this was only mentioned one other time in the Bible, and it's where Jacob was fleeing after he cheated his brother out of his birthright. And you can find this in Genesis. And he puts his head, lays his head down on a rock, and he falls asleep, and he has a dream. And there's a ladder that opens over him, and the angel, it says the angels are ascending and descending on this ladder, and at the top of the ladder is God, and the angels are coming from God, and they're ascending and descending. And so, so now you see Jesus repeating that. Jesus is aware of Genesis here and Jacob when he repeats this. So he's going, this happened to Jacob, it's not going to happen to me, and it's going to happen to all of you. When you're working your miracles, when you're operating in your gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so I wanted you to see that we're the ones for the angels here. And Jesus just was testing out the whole system before he only stayed here 3 years doing this, testing the system for men before he went back and handed the system to men. Now you have the ministry of Jesus in your hands. You have the miracles in your hands. You have the angels in your hands. You see? See what I mean?
Yes.
And they're here to help you. And now, we can close the Bible, but I want to talk for a few minutes just on some things that I've seen happen to me. And it's usually in my car when I feel like I have these manifestations. But anyone that knows me really well has heard me say, I can't have a car wreck. Has anyone heard me say that? You've heard me say that?
I've heard you say
it. You ought to hear my kids say it. You ought to ask my kids if I ever said it. I can't. Cannot or can't, it's the same thing, Skip. I have been saying that for years. And I use my... Even when I say it, I'm releasing my faith one more time for the atmosphere. And when I get behind my car, especially if I'm about to take a trip, I turn the key on and I go, I'm anointed to drive. Someone sitting in my car might go, yeah, but what about all the other drivers? Says, well, when I come in their presence, they're anointed to drive. You know? Because God has a way and there's angels involved. And this is just last fall. I was coming down here to do a Bible study, and on a Friday night, And when I got in my car and I turned on some praise music, this strong presence came into the car. And it was stronger than usual. And I felt like I was going to float out of the car seat. I was excited. I was blessed. And I felt like I weighed 10 pounds, okay? And I could sense this strength in the car of love and of my love for God, my love for people. And I guess I should have got a clue that I was about to face something. And there's a lot of traffic trying to get down here, and I got past on 80, I got past El Camino, and then I was about to hit Arden, and then you know how the 160 goes off to the left and the 99 goes straight. Right on that stretch there, between that curve from Fulton and Auburn and Arden, there was a bunch of traffic there, all going too fast. There was a mess, there was an accident or something. People started hitting the brakes, and I started hurrying, pow, pow, pow. These are cars hitting each other in front of me.
Amen.
So I kind of hit my brakes, I kind of swerved out of the lane, and then all of a sudden I heard cars behind me going, pow, pow, pow. And before you know it, here I was out of it on the 160. Only car on the 160. They were all the rest were going that way. And I was clear. And I got to, I maneuvered all through these accidents happening, and I was clear. And I go, wow, thank you, Lord. That was great. And then I get down here, and I walk in here, and I'm not really supposed to record things, but a very large guy, and, you know, Native American guy, was drunk out of his head and had used something laced. And he was walking around here terrorizing. He'd ripped his shirt off. He had his hair flowing. And he's barefoot. And he had already called out like three people, including one of the staff. But when I walked in the door, he had grabbed that cat, Detox. And he wanted a tray, but the tray was for someone that was coming in as an intake. And so he said, "Give me that tray." And the monitors were newer guys, and they were like, they didn't know what to do. And so he said, "All right, give me the tray, or I break the cat's neck." That's what he said. And he had the cat right up on the counter. And as I walked in the door, the cat's going, like it was just about to be snapped. And I saw him, and I said, "Are you abusing that cat?" Now, you know, that's just my reaction. And when he heard me, he went, and the cat dropped, and the cat ran. So I just walked over him. I said, "Where's your shirt? Go get your shirt on." And, yeah. And he ran. And he ran all the way to his bed, and I followed him. And someone threw me his shirt, and I'm following him to go after him with his shirt. And he ran, all the way to his bed, and got under the covers and fell asleep. We didn't see him the rest of the night. And so the point of my whole story is that my car came through, and then I come in here, and there's something out of control in here, and I just said what I believe God wanted me to say, and it was all put down and settled. And he ran in fear. But I believe he had demons manifesting. Well, I had the Holy Spirit manifesting. And the Holy Spirit is bigger than demons, you know what I mean? He's like everything. You see what I'm saying? Now, I'm not some great big fighter. I'm not some great big guy that's going to knock someone out. I've never given anyone any impression of that. But if I'm telling a guy to do something and he immediately runs when he wasn't doing it for somebody else, then I see that as God coming through me. See, I see that. And that's what you have access to. That's what you have access to. One other time, I was telling you this one. I was in a white Chevy Blazer. I was on Hazel Avenue, and it was a real pretty Blazer. It had gold trim on it. And I'm coming down. And I'm doing about 60, and this guy is in a slower lane, and he's got this orange, like an orange Firebird or something, all cherried out, just a beautiful Firebird. And I'm coming down. I'm doing about 50 or 60. And he goes like this, and he pulls out to get around this guy, but he doesn't see me coming. And we go, smack, like that. And we kind of get knocked apart like that. and going at a high speed. And we both pulled over. It was obviously his fault, but I think I was going too fast. And we get out, and we looked at it, and he goes, "Man, I don't want any insurance or cops here. I want my insurance contacted." I said, "Well, let's look at the damage." And we looked at his car first, and there's this big hole in his door that my car did. I believe it was my tire that did it. And it was all messed up, and then his back door was messed up too. And it looked like a couple $1,000s in damage. So we go over to my car, and there's this little orange smudge about this big, like that. And I look at him and I say, "All right, no cops, no insurance, I'll fix mine, you fix yours." He goes, "Great, thank you, thank you." He gives his card, he speeds off, and I went home, I got out the wax, I wetted the rag a little bit, I went like this, and that smudge came off. There's not even a chip in the paint. And I'm going, "Lord, how can we have that kind of a impact and that nothing's wrong with this car?" Nothing at all. And where that smudge was not the furthest protrusion from the car of mine either. I had these wings that were gold that stuck out further than the flat part, you know, by a couple inches. And I don't know what even touched my car from his car. But all I'm saying is, and then there was a third time, and I was over in Roosevelt, and I was going up a hill in a commercial location, and it was just wide enough for one car. And here comes this guy. You ever see the illegal alien gardeners, you know, that are driving these pickup trucks around? And there's this old beat-up one, and this guy's coming over the rise, and then he's coming down this hill, and it's a real steep hill, and I have this old Chrysler New Yorker. And it's in perfect condition, my Chrysler New Yorker, and I'm coming up this hill, and he's coming down, and his brakes fail. And he's coming fast. And we're going to, like, head on, you know. And you can see him going, and I can see his eyes real big, and his mouth is open. He's like that. And what he does is he goes like this, and then he runs his car over the edge of this precipice, and he drags his underneath of that truck on this curbing that's there. And he goes right, and he has two wheels over in this garden, which is a drop-off garden, and he has two wheels just over the edge of that curbing, holding him on there. And he scrapes all the way down to the bottom. I watch him go by like that. He misses my car by that much, okay? Because there truly, really was, and he was totally out of control. And he had this supernatural ability to miss my car, although he had panicked, and his brakes failed. And I'm just helpless here, you know. So these are, and then one more time, before I met my wife, she had little girls in the back seat, and she was going, and she's already a Christian, she's praising God, she's going down this highway, this car pulls in front of her, she goes, like, impact, and all of a sudden, she doesn't impact, and the next thing you know, she looks up, there's nothing there. She turns around, and it's behind her, still in the middle of the road. It's like she literally, like, dematerialized and rematerialized.
Or that vehicle did.
Something dematerialized. Something didn't happen, you see. So, and then I was in a church service once. Hey, guys, wait, I'm still recording here. I was in a church, and we're going to pray in just a second. So I was in a church service once, and they had this Hollywood stuntman in there, and he had given his life to Christ, and he had the same experience. And he was, him and this actress were in this pickup, and they got involved in this great big car wreck. And he, what he told this church is, he says, "Our pickup just disappeared and ended up on the other side of a car reappearing, and did not kill us." And he's a Hollywood stuntman that was traveling around preaching for Jesus, and God just totally saved their lives. And that's angel activity, in my opinion. That's all angel activity, because those are some of the powers that angels have. We only got to about half my scriptures, but you know, it'd be good to go back and meditate some of those scriptures, especially Hebrews 1 and Psalm 103. Those are huge. Hebrews 1, Psalm 103. I'd go back and read those, you know, because this is stuff that I live by and I walk by. And I don't believe you'll get angels on practice sessions. I believe you only get angels when you really need them. But if you don't have in your heart the teaching I'm talking to you about, the Word of God will not come out of you when you're faced with danger. You have to continually plant the Word of God in your heart for what I'm talking to you about here. And I have this one practice when I am driving. When I'm driving down here at night, I am putting angels around people. You know, I put 3,000 angels around my home every night I drive down here to watch my home at night, in and around my home. And so, by the way, angels, no evil beings can come in that home. No evil people can come in that home. You are around that home. And by the way, angels, the blood of Jesus Christ is around that home. And, oh, by the way, angels, my shield of faith is around the home, too. And I make it really clear. And I know they hear me. See? Then I start on my kids. My kids are scattered all over America, in California and Sacramento. And I have 17 grandkids in 6 homes. And I have 6 married couples that are my kids and in-laws, and a son living with one of them. So I have 13 kids with 17 grandkids in 6 homes. So I'm driving down here and I pray over them all. And then I say, now, 50,000 angels, you go and get around these 6 homes tonight, right now, and stay there. And you'll go with any car that leaves these homes, and you will do your thing, and the blood of Christ is around them all, and my faith is around them all like a shield. See? You see how many angels are hopping with just by one man's words? You see what I mean? But Jesus said, didn't you know that I could call this many legions? He said to a disciple right before he went on the cross, he says, don't you know I could deliver myself, by I could call for this many? We'll read it on Saturday night. He said, I could call for this many legions. And I went and looked up a legion, and there's 6,000 angels in a legion. And the number he called for, 12 legions, he says, I could call for 12 legions of angels. That's 72,000 angels. He told a follower he could call for 72,000 angels to get him off the cross. That's when I started using big numbers myself. Because if he could do it, I can do it. I believe God likes it. I believe the angels like it. More of them get to do something. I know
this is important. I know the demons don't like it.
Right.
Strength in numbers.
Amen. Although it probably only takes one of them. Well, praise God, Lord. Lord, just stir up the angels around each of these as they've heard. And revelation creates transformation, which creates manifestation. And Lord, we're looking for manifestation, angels to manifest into this atmosphere, Lord, when we need them. So Lord, thank you for this word sown in our heart here, and we will expand it by studying more, and bless and protect each one of these persons here as they go out and as they leave this place for day passes or whatever. Father, we love you. And everybody repeat this after me. Everybody, if you would. Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
We know you died and rose again.
We know you died and rose again.
We repent of sins.
We repent of sins.
Save us.
Save us.
Fill us with yourself.
Fill us with yourself.
We are living for you.
We are living for you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.